Hey, podcast listeners. Welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 80. We are on 1 Kings, chapter 12, and we're going to be reading 12, 13, and 14. And, yeah, we got, video viewers, say hello to audio listeners. Audio listeners, say hello to video viewers. You're going to have to send a weird, message in a bottle backwards in time to communicate with each other, but I'm sure you can figure it out. So I guess I'll just, announcements. Anyone who, all the cool listeners who are on the Facebook, and I'm not saying the Facebook like an old person, like, hey, let's the Facebook. Do you have the Facebook? No, I mean, the Facebook is in my Facebook, like my Facebook page, the Facebook page. It's just people commonly refer to my Facebook page as the Facebook page. one of the video people had a funny line. See, that's what you get when you watch live. You get to hear me laugh at your semi-funny comments. Occasionally good ones. Most of the time not funny. That's why I'm the professional here. I'm the one who's paid millions of invisible currency units to do this job. So I'm just giving you guys a hard time. Let's see. Oh yeah. So for people on the Facebook, you already know, hopefully, that I was on the Digression Sessions podcast, and it was really funny. Skype was really bad, but I sent them my audio and they edited it. I cannot say the past tense of the word edit. It's actually not possible. They edited. So I think I'm just going too far with it. It's really actually easy. They edited it, and it sounds a lot better. And there's a bunch of jokes that I didn't even hear that they made at the time because it was so laggy, you know, and we were talking over each other, but That was really fun. That was a great show. Those guys are really funny. They're growing on me. So you should check out their podcasts. Hopefully their listeners will do the same for me. You know, we'll cross pollinate, interbreed. You know, and have some weird looking babies. So that's one announcement, and I may not have another announcement. So that could be my only one. I think that's it. Please join the Facebook. Please write me a review on iTunes. That's always good. I knew there was something else. I'm probably, because my brother has retired from the world of podcasting, which sucks, because he's really funny, but he can't do it anymore. So I'm probably, in all likelihood, starting a new project with this other friend of mine, who's not as funny as my brother, let's face it. But he's a different style of comedy. And I don't know, I'm curious how it's going to be a different kind of show than F This Podcast was. But I need the complaint outlet. Because I just need, you know, I got a lot of stuff to say, and I don't want to, you know, people come here for the Bible and my 4 minutes of pre-Bible ravings that I usually do. They don't come here for my complaints about the world and my observations on life, or do they? I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to be starting a new project, so I'll keep you updated. But just in case anyone's like dying for some F This Podcast, which I am. There will be something kind of replacing it, but not that. It's going to be a different show because it's not going to be kind of the same because it's not me and my brother, and we have our own way of doing things. But anyway, so that's the other announcement, and let's just get to the Bible because I've been filibustering long enough. Ooh, it's another one of these cool titles, you know, these little the Bible has these cool subtitles now, subheadings, you know, that it didn't used to have. It says Rebellion Against Rehoboam, and I guess that means that God didn't write this, someone else wrote this part. I thought God was writing this, but I guess he's changed writing styles now. Because, well, he's God, so he can write in any style he wants, I suppose. So he can change writing styles roughly every time so that another human seems like he's writing. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, heard of it, parentheses, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, and parentheses, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam. So there's Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Nerdass. I don't know what that joke is, but I think I might get. Is that a reference to F this? I don't know. It might be funny. I'm not sure. Explain. Anyway, I'll go on. So we got Rehoboam and Jeroboam and something. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father. Okay, good. Restart. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while yet he lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, then answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said, so it's always these young men are corrupting everything. The old men say, okay, I should probably say what's going on. So the kingdom was like split up into a bunch of different, you know, the game, essentially Game of Thrones going on. We got a bunch of different little kingdoms. I can't remember the name of any of them now because it's been nearly several months since I watched Game of Thrones and I forget names of things instantly. Anyway, there's the wall. I don't know. That's what you remember, something about a wall. No, I freaking love Game of Thrones, but I just have a bad memory. Anyway, so the kingdom of Israel was split up because, if you remember, Solomon was this like philandering, basically just did whatever he wanted and had a million wives and just did whatever he wanted. And so God punished him by not punishing him at all. God punished him by punishing everyone who came after him, and broke up the kingdom. And now I think this is one of the, I can't remember. This is like one of the kings. I don't know. I think it's one of his sons or something. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. But anyway, the people come to this new king basically. And they say, your father was really hard on us. So how about you know, he's dead now, I think. So you took over. So how about you go a little easier on us and, you know, we'll be happy. And the old men of his council say like, yeah, that's a good idea. You should do that. Be nice to him. And then he's like, F that. And he goes to the young rascals, I guess, because you have old people in your council, young faction. There's the old caucus and his council and the young caucus. The old caucus needs pills to work right and everything. But anyway, they said like, oh, well, actually, that's where we are. So I'll start from there. He forsook the counsel of the old men. Let's see. And okay, so he's asking the young men. And he said to them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men, young whippersnappers, that were grown up with him, spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it thou lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou, that was a lot of rephrasing and stuff. I thought it was getting to the point, but it's, thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger can illustrate this in the video. My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Sorry, I'm not going to show you my loins. That's just how it goes. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. You guys are going to be up to your asses in yoke. You're going to have like 10 times the yoke that you had. You're going to be yoked. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. I don't know if they mean scorpion the weapon. Like, isn't there a scorpion? I remember from my Age of Empires days, you know. Isn't there a scorpion weapon or like actual scorpions? Because, like, if you had to choose between a whip and a scorpion, I don't know that one's really that much worse. You know, like a whips really hurt, I'm sure. Like, that doesn't sound fun. And scorpions probably, like, don't initially hurt as much, but then, like, I don't know. Those, like, scorpions in that area of the world probably just kill you. So, like, maybe you want that. Maybe you'd rather have a scorpion. Like, yeah, sure, you just give me that. Give me a stupid scorpion. I'm a slave. What am I going to do? Like, life sucks. So anyway, I'm just saying, like, that's a weird scorpion from Mortal Kombat. Nice. First viewing audience joke. That was actually funny. The Durgit. Oh, can I say your name? I don't know. Whatever. Durgit 1212. That doesn't sound very specific. Like I said before, some people make their name, their bank account number, and their credit card and this little security code on the back, like that's their username. And then I say their username and they're like, dude, what the F? Now Durgit 1212 said it's Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. So he's going to sick. They get the little, like, that's this guy, right? He's got the, come here, get over here. Yeah. That kind of thing. So that's what, so, okay. Then I get it. That is worse than whip. I think to have like a, like a hook. I don't even, what did he use? Like a hook or something? Like a, I don't know. There's some pointy thing on the end. Come here! Get over here! And then he does the uppercut things. So yeah, okay, that makes sense. You know what? I stand corrected. That is worse than a whip, and I understand the Bible now. That's totally, totally fine. So the young people said to be worse to them than your father was. I don't know why they would want to do that, but that's what they said. Man, it's going to take me all day to get through this reading at this rate. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again on the third day. Was that necessary? Did we really need that extra sentence? And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young man, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. Oh, guess what? He's going to say again what we already heard. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. He doesn't just have the one scorpion from Mortal Kombat 2. He's got like a team of them. I don't know if you can train that kind of fighting. I've never seen anyone else in the world who fights like that with a hook thing that they, you know. So I don't know if maybe you can do that. But yeah, but he's trained a team of them. There's a team of scorpions, so. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. The kingdom divided. Another subtitle, whatever, heading. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse? To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. So they're just saying, like, no king's going to do anything for us now, so screw this. Let's just not really even care about the king. We got all these scorpions going, come here. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. The king, so I guess he still has, there's still one little tribe of Israel, but he doesn't have, like, a big kingdom, basically. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to go get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So, Shemaiah's prophecy. So I think he sent the tax collector guy to go get their yoke, their heavy yoke. He sent a scorpion team, a small team of scorpions. in their yellow, like, robes, whatever. I don't know. I have not played that game since the early 90s. Like, the one that came out for the... Wait, what system was that? I swear there was a system that we had to rent, because we were Nintendo people as a family. No, I think there were two versions. Was there SNES? And anyway, there was, like, blood mode, you know, and our mom was like, you can't play with blood mode. And then obviously when she'd leave, be like, let's play with blood mode. And yeah, so anyway. So they sent a team of scorpions, and the people stoned those scorpions. So that's what happened. And then it ends, that little section. And it came to pass when all Israel... I think the point of this reading is that the stupid, Sega Genesis. Was it already Sega Genesis back then? Sega. Yeah, I guess it was. That's weird. I just feel like Genesis was newer than SNES, but I don't know. My chronology on that might be a little off. Like I said, we only had Nintendo systems, so I don't really know. Anyway, so basically the point of that is that the kingdom is divided. That's all, really. The kingdom's divided. God said he would divide the kingdom because Solomon was a man whore pretty much, and he did. And it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. So there's only this one tribe. And with good reason, since, you know, there's not really, the king's being kind of a dick. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah, with the tribe of Benjamin and 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is for me. They hearken, and just go back and play some Genesis, man. Just play some Sega Genesis, chill out, drink a bunch of Shasta Cola, and just no fighting, okay? They hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord, because they really just want to play their Sega Genesises anyway. Their Sega Genesi. What's the plural of Genesises? Genesis. Genesee. Genesees? And returned to part of the word of the Lord. And they all beat the game. That's what they did. Well, a lot of them were just mashers that just mashed. That's all I did. I was too young. That game was so scary to me when I was that young. Oh, my God. That would have been scarier than a whip. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, I don't know how you say things in your heart. You know, like making it beat a certain way, I don't know. Said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. What? Oh, so I guess Jeroboam is like a rival. God damn it, I don't really know what he is. And now that my computer's all set up all weird, I can't really type. I can just use my mouse. So someone wants to Google Jeroboam versus, what was the other guy? I already forget. Rehoboam, whatever, who cares? Someone wants to do that, though, and tell me what the difference is. Let me know. They're probably brothers, right? They're probably feuding brothers or something. And by brothers, I mean black people, of course, obviously. Okay. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other in, Scuba's PV, what up? Are you the one who's a girl? I don't remember. So one of you is a girl, I don't know, maybe all of you are. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. She's going to be pissed. He or she is going to be pissed. And this is and this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship. So basically, this rival guy is like, man, that's the Scuba's not the girl. Damn it! Do you know the girl? Can you bring back the girl? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Anyway, these two people, they're fighting over kingdoms, basically, over these little tribes. And one guy supposedly has God, you know. And this other guy's like, crap, he has God? What am I going to do? So he makes two golden calves. Because people are just nuts for golden calves. Golden calves are like catnip if they are cats. They just immediately go and worship them. Because I love how that's the kind of people we're dealing with. You just show them a golden calf. And they're like, oh, I got to worship that. I got to pray to that dear golden calf. Please give me the following thing. Like, I got to pray to that calf. Crazy. Wait, what? Oh, you're distracting me. Stop distracting me. Anyway, yeah, leg calves. Not cow calves. They're just two, two like mannequin calves. Like, man, look at those calves. That mannequin must freaking work out. Must do stairs or something, you know, like stair steppers or something. Stadium runs. They're like, I'm definitely going to worship those calves. 100%. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan, and he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So that's the end of that chapter. We're on to chapter 13 now. I gotta try to go a little faster. I'm taking too long. You guys are... It's this participation. I love it, but I'll have to pick my spots. I'll have to read and then pause times to read your comments. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones. My contact lens is going crazy. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign that same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. It came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again into him. Oh, it's a miracle. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not the way that he came to Bethel. So, bye, Durgit. Dagnabbit. So what happened here is that I think it's hopefully the guy who's burnt, who has the fake cows, or the golden calves. I think he's the, yeah. Someone came to warn him, go ahead and refresh. Someone came to warn him that a man of God, a prophet, came to warn him that he needs to stop doing what he's doing, otherwise all kinds of bad stuff. And then he tries to stop him, and his hand freezes. It you know, stops. And, oh, you know what? This is probably Sub-Zero. This is, so like he said, wait, and Sub-Zero went, phew, and then he froze. And then right there, wouldn't Sub-Zero just win? I don't know how they're totally frozen and then they unfreeze. How does that work? Doesn't really, not very consistent. Remember when you'd be like, couldn't you like Sub-Zero the Scorpion thing? Like they'd just bounce off each other? I don't remember. 87th killing? Are you joking? Scuba's PV? God has killed. I think I need to add a couple hundred million zeros to that. Are you forgetting about Noah's Ark? He's killed everything. So that's what happened. And then the prophet also was told that he couldn't eat or drink with Jeroboam or go the way he came. So he didn't either. Until what's coming up next. Foreshadowing. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came out and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Now this, I don't understand this part of the story. We're going to have to try to work through this together, because this random guy somehow just decides he's going to follow this prophet. We'll see what happens here. He went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. So this is the prophet who was told not to eat or drink or go, you know, this prophet is on his way out. This guy tracks him down, this old prophet, I guess, and he's sitting under a tree. And he said to him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go the way thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he, then there should be some symbol that says this, like, but he lied unto him. Like, psst, but he lied unto him. It's not even a parenthesis. It should be parenthetical or whatever. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and did eat bread and drink water. So this is a great time. This was a fantastic time. All you had to do, back in the day. So this guy was told by God, and let's just assume he really was, like, just for fun. He actually had a being, a disembodied being, talk to him and tell him, give him these directions. And then someone comes and say, hey, come violate all those directions you were given. And he said, no, I was given these directions. God told me. And the guy says, oh, well, God told me to tell you to come violate all those directions. And he goes, oh, okay, sure. He must just not have, you know, gotten to me about that. So, I'll follow you. He just does whatever he wants. Like, how awesome would it have been back then? I bet if you were, you know, if you were a guy trying to get laid or whatever, just go up to a girl and be like, hey, God, I was just talking to God. Yeah, I talk to him all the time. But he mentioned that we should totally bone right now. So, you know, our hands are tied. Oh, also, let's tie your hands because he said that too. No, I'm getting a little too weird. But but really, you could just tell a person like, oh, God mentioned, he said that you should blow your face off with a gun that's not invented yet. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll go build one of those and do it because God said. Yeah, why? Of course. Isn't that weird? Why? Anyway, and okay, so we'll see what happens as a result of this. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. Sorry, I needed water. That brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept, oh my God, this is fantastic, has not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which The Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. That was his ass, like he... Anyway. By the way. And when the lion was gone, a lion met him and slew him. Stood by the carcass. And behold, the men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they said, "Hi, hi, top of the morning to you, Mr. Lion, standing by the carcass." And they came and told it in the city where the prophet dwelt. This is freaking fantastic. So remember how I was talking about these two prophets? The one guy says, "Hey, come with me," or whatever. So they're at his house, right? They're at the lying prophet and the good prophet, because that's really what they are. They're at the lying prophet's house, and God talks to the lying prophet, not even the good one. He talks to the lion. I read the word lion and wanted to say lying, and then I said lion. He talks to the lying prophet. He talks to the lying prophet and says to the lying prophet to tell, hey, would you tell the good prophet over there, even though I'm talking to you in your brain and probably know that you deceived him, would you tell him that he's totally effed because he didn't listen to me? And he does. He delivers his message, and then that guy gets killed by a lion, the good prophet. It's like, what kind of God is this? Like, it's just so, honestly, at that point, even if I were getting eaten by a lion, I'd just be like, dude, really? Like, this is, all right, whatever. Okay, I'm eaten by a lion. I don't know. Like, this is how you're going to operate, God? This is all-powerful God? This is how you do things? All right, man, I guess I'm getting eaten by a lion. Okay, like, guess I'm dead, you know? Like, what can you say, you know? What can you say at that point? So God tells this guy to do some stuff. The guy is totally obeying him, but then another person deceives him and lies to him. Nice one-liner, nerd ass, but I'm not going to say. He became a non-profit, nerd lass said. Anyway, yeah, he was quickly turned into a non-profit. A 403C, or what is it? What is the thing? Anyway, he 403C. Seed his ass. See, 401k, 503 seed. I don't know. So that's what happened. And not only, so what's even funnier about this is not only did this bad prophet lie to him, but then God talks to the bad prophet. So it's not like the bad prophet is someone who God doesn't talk to. Like maybe he has been, it refers to him as a prophet. So I guess God can talk to him. So, like, how's the good prophet to know? Like, the bad prophet almost has credibility, you know, and he's still, you know, God's still going to have him get eaten by a freaking lion. He did him a favor, too. Like, he did the work. It's like if I asked a guy to, like, hey, you want to, like, shovel out my garden? You know, you want to do some, like, some housework, some yard work for me? You know, like clean up some branches, burn them, you know, just random stuff. Do all that work. Oh, and on your way home, make sure to go right at the fork in the road, not left. And then he, like, someone tricks him into going right. Like, someone comes up to him and he's like, hey, he's full shit. Go right, not left, you know, or whatever it is. And the guy does the wrong thing, and then I kill him. Like, it's essentially, I'm not even like, well, you disobeyed me, but you did do that yard work for me, so we'll call it even or whatever, you know, like he kills him. It's so funny. God, it's so funny. This is a funny book. All right. Well, I'm going to move on. And when God, excuse me, already wrong. 2 seconds into that, already wrong. 1 second and already wrong. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient under the word of the Lord. Nice passive way of saying that. This is the person who tricked him. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons. You know, could it be? Does anyone know Anyone know Three Amigos? Could it be that maybe your jefe, he's talking to El Guapo. Could it be that once again you're taking things out on jefe when, anyway. I can't remember what that line is. Someone look it up, but that's a good line. Could it be that what happened was this prophet came in to town, said something, left, got eaten by a lion, and then this guy made up this elaborate story about why he got eaten by a lion? Like, yeah, I guess, then again, the guy's not going to make up a story where he lies. So I don't really, someone made it up. Let's just say he gets eaten by a lion. Someone makes up the story justifying why he got eaten by a lion. And that's it. That's how it comes to be. And he went around and found his carcass. So this, the liar prophet's going to go kind of get rid of the body just as a service, like, you know. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother, why is this guy so sad about him?" And he came to, why did this prophet get him killed if he was going to be so sad when he was dead? After he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high priests, the high places, which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. All the priests in high places are in low places, and the low places are in high places. And this thing became a sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth." Okay, that's the end of that chapter. And yeah, so you guys follow that? Do I summarize? Hey, viewing audience, do I summarize too much, too little? Just right? I don't know. I try to summarize when I would think I would not know what the hell's going on, which is pretty much after every sentence. So that is a weird story, is it not? Like, what? First of all, is the point? I don't get it. Because you'd think we'd want to be focusing on the king and what the king's actions are going to be. But instead, it focuses on this prophet who comes and says something, and then this whole ridiculous story. And that's it. And then it says, well, the king didn't listen to him, by the way. You know? I don't know. All right. Kings 14. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam." That's me. I love when people talk in the third person. "And get thee to Shiloh." That's not me. "Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And that's an interesting phrasing. Were set by reason of his age, so he's blind. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." I love when they say, I love that in the Bible. That's one thing. Okay. Thing one of one so far that I like about the Bible. Whenever they're paraphrasing something like that, It's like he's saying, he's giving directions, right? This guy, this prophet, but he's summarizing the directions he gave. You know, this isn't a literal quote. It's saying like, and then, we'll call him Bob. And then Bob said, "Oh, it's this woman," and he instructed him. I messed it up. "Oh, it's this woman. Thus and thus say to her." Like, that's him giving instructions, but it, like, doesn't want to give away what those instructions are ahead of time. So it says thus and thus. So it's like, That I just I like that. I actually like that wording. It's kind of funny. It's like like I said, it doesn't want to give away what the instructions are because that's going to come later, I guess. It's some literary thing. So he just says, thus and thus, tell them. You know, and you know, so that's like him giving directions. Anyway, I couldn't find a good way to explain that, but hopefully I was kind of understood. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou self to be another? For I am sent with thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people of Israel, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do only that which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and I will cut off Jeroboam, I will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall. Oh, I love it. This is back. This is how they referred to men in the King James era. I'm not making that wording up. That's literally what it says. Him that pisseth against the wall. So, meaning you stand up and pee on a wall, so you're a man. Like, I don't know. I think women could probably manage that, but it'd be kind of funny looking. But anyway, that's how they refer to men. I totally lost my spot because it was so funny. Pisseth against the wall. And him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung. Do men taketh away dung? Is that a saying that you can use? I'm going to take you away like men take away dung. How is that? With a shovel? Do men take away dung? I don't know. Whatever metaphor you're using, I'm not getting it. Until it be all gone. Okay, I guess that's what the meaning of it. So it's going to be all gone. Because when you're taking away dung, you would take all of it away, I guess, is the point. So not a very creative metaphor. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou therefore, and get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. Kind of weird. I don't know, Homestar Runner. Sorry to say, I guess. I don't know. So, sorry, I can't really acknowledge what that means. But cool. Thanks for the comment, at least. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. So this is great. So this guy tells her, like, as soon as you get to your doorstep, the child will die. And what does she do? She just goes to her doorstep and the child dies. I would have tried to get creative with my, you know, interpretations. Oh, good God. Oh, sorry. I was trying to, like, keep the baby constantly outside the door, you know? Like, I'd build, like, a little shelter out just outside the door where the baby could live, but then cut a hole in the door, I guess. I don't know. And so you could feed the baby, but you don't bring it in. Well, better yet, build a new house that's one of those wall. Yeah, move the doorstep. That's another. Just take the doorstep somewhere else. Build a house that starts at that wall and goes the other way. And so you just, like, build an additional house and live in that house and never go in that room. Or just blow it up. Yeah, build a wall in front of that previous wall. See, you could have tried something. I don't like how she just goes straight there, child dies. It's like, ah, man, I didn't believe him. Well, then again, maybe she was one of the first atheists. She's like, I don't believe it. And then the child dies. That wasn't good, but, you know. Ah, man. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord. You know, when the wife got back, I'm sure she had to say, like, you know, Jeroboam's like, so what did the prophet say? You know, while she's still outside. What was I going to say? No, so the child dies right when she gets in the door. And then Jeroboam asks, like, so what did the prophet say? Well, he definitely didn't tell me that the son was going to die right when I crossed the door. I'll tell you that much. One thing he did not say was that your son is going to die right when I crossed the doorstep. Had he said that, I definitely wouldn't have crossed this doorstep. I think that's probably what she had to tell her husband. Well, he didn't tell me that. I know that's what you were thinking, but he didn't say that. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came. No, no, I already read that. So they buried him by the hand of a servant. Jeroboam. Okay, so that's the end of that little section, I guess. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred, how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And this sucks because Chronicles is a book we haven't gotten to yet, and it sounds like it's just the same shit we've already read, said another time. Right? Isn't that what it seems like? So it's saying, if you want to learn more about this loser king, then read this book that you're going to have to read, because it's totally in the Bible after this one at some point. You know, days of 2 and 20 years. So he reigned 22 years and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. Rehoboam's wicked reign in Judah. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill, under every green tree. And there also were Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, this is interesting. You know how they always say, like, people always try to say that the, you know, Bible is an anti-gay, blah, 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 and they say Leviticus is ridiculous. And it's, some people try to say that Sodom and Gomorrah, they weren't really being gay, they were just being bad in general, and that's why they were killed. Well, here it says that they're doing horrible things, and it says Sodomites, and it's not capitalized, so it's not like literally Sodomites, like from Sodom. It just says Sodomites, like they're actually Sodomites, and they're abominations, so that's interesting. I'll have to remember that if someone ever says, you know, like, because I've read something about people try to say that Sodom and Gomorrah were not, like, they weren't killed by God because they were gay. Because people try to rewrite the Bible and say that it's really all pro-gay and they love gays so much. And, like, the Bible is, like, 100% pro-gay. Because that makes sense. Like, duh, obviously. Anyway, so this will be a kind of maybe a counterexample to that, or at least an example of where it does appear that the Bible is saying that sodomy, in a different book, a non-Leviticus book, sodomy is an abomination. Now, maybe these are all men and women. I don't know. Maybe these are women giving it to men with strap-ons. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But sodomy and Jeff, I mean, I hope that's not an abomination, because, no, I'm just kidding. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold. You already said all. Why are you still saying things? Which Solomon made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brassen shields and committed them under the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? I love when they ask these condescending questions. It's great. Like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to try to read your book. Like, ooh, now I'm being insulted. Like, hey, pardon me for trying to get some information from your book. Like, hey, man, aren't these written elsewhere? Oh, okay, all right. Don't have to tell me. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitess, and And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. And that's the end of our reading for today. So, yes, that was pretty fun. Yeah, all right. Well, thanks, video people. I don't get why we had so many more people last week. So this must be a bad time. So I could try to do it later, I suppose. I don't know. But that'll be bad for some people or something, you know, whatever. Okay. Thank you, audio listeners, as well, for listening. And I'll see you next week for the next episode. And I will let you know as soon as my new podcast possibly comes out. I don't know that it's going to be within the week, but hopefully within like a couple weeks. Because we got to set up all the website BS and negotiate our very lucrative contracts and very high salaries. You know, it's when there's that much money involved, there's things take time. You got lawyers, you got lots of people trying to get their cut. So after all that is negotiated, we will hopefully have a podcast. All righty. Well, from all of us here at me, see you later.